fucking God help us on this one. Love you so much.
Welcome to the unofficial King Gizzard podcast, the show about the best band in the world. Question that, Mark. I'm Captain Chipwreck.
I'm Professor John P. Weatherclock, and I need a gong bath.
I know where you could get one round about August.
I'm looking forward to it. I think. Am I? Maybe. Did I say my name? I don't remember. I've been listening to B741.
I can get you one sooner. I can get your gong bath. I can get your gong bath, dude. You want a gong bath?
You don't want to know.
I could get you a gong bath.
I've been listening to B741 lately. I don't know why.
Wow.
What a great, wonderful, fun style of music, even though some of the content is not fun, but like such a great idiom to like have in the quiver of musical arrows.
That's funny. I almost listened to Blight V7 for fun just today for fun because of a Reddit post that was just asking a very silly question, which was, is Flight B741 a feel-good album?
I saw that.
I mean, I personally can't feel good unless someone else has told me that I feel good.
Tell me what to feel, someone. No, it's please. True. But it's also deep. Like, I was listening to Rats in the Sky and Stu's part. Breadcrumbs are my banquet. Puddles are my wine. I revel in the present. Each moment, a lifetime.
Oh, wow.
Just beautiful stuff. It kind of that some raw feel. What's one thing for you is something else for some.
Maybe one for you. Maybe two for me. What's one for you? Maybe two for me.
For some? Maybe? Yes?
For some.
But we're not talking about B741 on this episode. But
So then I've got better lyrics for you.
Please.
Let's talk about what we're talking about, I guess. Then we'll get... I should wait. Go ahead, then.
We're talking about...
What am I doing? Where am I?
What are any of us doing? We're talking about... Palp Fest, please come in. We're talking about Palp Fest 2023.
Bonjour.
King Gizzard's performance in Switzerland. This is a great performance, and it's not an official bootleg release, but it is available through several videos on YouTube, including the 4K version, which we will link to in the show notes. 4K is cool. Like, there aren't... I wonder if this is the oldest 4K video performance.
Well, that's interesting. It may be. I was trying to get a few more Ks out of it that I couldn't when I put it up on my big screen, because I have some real frustrations about Lucas's hat that I just couldn't get to the bottom of. I'm going to give you some lyrics of the episode. Won't be hard for you. My eyes feel like they're made of light. Boots void would be made bright. I will blind you in the Hadal zone, emperor of the abyss below.
Yes. Oh, my daughter's still working on the lyrics, memorizing the lyrics to Gila Monster.
Wonderful. Do you know about Boots Void?
No, I don't know.
Okay, so Boots is...
Please spell it.
I assume you want an umlaut.
I do. At least.
I thought you would at least one. How about B-O-O umlaut T-E-S?
Boots Void.
Boots is a constellation, the brightest star of which is Arcturus. You can find Arcturus if you follow the handle of the Big Dipper. They say Arc to Arcturus. If you keep going, then you'll spy Spica, but that's not important right now. Within Boots is this area sometimes referred to as the Great Nothing, which is a region of space that contains... like 60 galaxies, wherein one would predict something like 2,000 galaxies, with a radius of, 62 megaparsecs or so, as you do. So the idea being that when you are glowing with Gila Blizzard power, your eyes glow so bright, made of light, that that Boots Void would be made bright. I will blind you in the Hadal zone, by the way. Also known as the Hadopelagic zone, which is the deepest region of the ocean. Ranges from around 6 to 11 kilometers below sea level and exists in a long, narrow, topographic V-shaped depression where this particular magic lizard would blind you with the brightness of his witchy lizard Gila eyes.
Good lord. Okay. Thank you for that. I did the Kessel Run in 62 parsecs.
Wow. That's because of your witchy lizard power?
That's right. So, Palpfest. What can we say about Palpfest? Swiss festival. This Giz show took place on August 14th, 2023. This was after they did the U.S. residency tour in June of that year, and they were on fire. And
oh my God.
This takes place in, as they say in the first song, in a greenhouse, basically. It's a large plastic greenhouse in a valley in Switzerland that looks so beautiful that it's almost fake. There is drone footage in the concert video. The steepest, greenest, deepest valley in Switzerland, and at the base of it is this greenhouse where Giz played, and it looks to me like 800 people, maybe fewer. Yeah, amazing.
Also looks hot as fuck in there.
There's something called the greenhouse effect that I think we are all familiar with.
Oh, that's interesting. Does that apply in this case?
It might apply. And a small crowd, and it was all during the day. None of this was happening at night, which made it extra hot and extra interesting to watch, because you can see them and they can see everyone, including all
me?
The children.
Can they see me?
They might be able to see you right now. They're watching.
I think they saw the children. The drone footage is exquisite. There's this dam in the background, which is apparently the eighth tallest dam in the world at 250 meters. The Malvaux Dam, which is it's scary. I don't know. I can't stand in the shadow of a dam that size and not be afraid that it's going to break on me.
Yeah,
I've never successfully done so.
The Hadal Zone of Switzerland, they call it.
That's what they call it, also known as the Hedeological Zone.
Mm-hmm. Great show, fun show, one big old set, and we're going to get to it. But first, there's a little bit of news. I have some news. So the last two nights, we're recording this.
Oh my God, you're pregnant.
We're recording this on Saturday, May 23rd. Cavs just played two shows with Joey on bass. We have some audio and video that we can put in here. Someone actually recorded the entire Friday night show, which is cool. It sounds great. Cavs looking good. Cavs came out on night one wearing a powder blue suit with a white dress shirt, a sport coat and everything, which he took off eventually, but he still had his beautiful white crisp shirt tucked into his powder blue slacks. Joey, of course, wearing a red soccer shirt, and Joey has clipped his hair and shaved his mustache.
For faster bass playing.
Yeah.
In case anyone doesn't realize, he is the session studio bass player for so much of King Giz history, producing problems to drop in Lucas's lap every time they go on tour after a new album, it seems.
Yeah, I think Lucas learned his lesson. You got to be there for the studio stuff if you're going to be able to play this in concert.
And especially if you want to write vocal parts that are out of your own range.
God. Oh, Lucas, come on now. But it's Joey looks like Joey from like KGLW days, basically.
Mm-hmm.
But the show's great. What a lineup. Awesome. Harp, saxophone, congas, Joey Walker bass. Good. Awesome.
Yeah. Fantastic. I've seen a few clips on the Instaplorts. The other boys were at the show. There was someone posted about some tall men, annoyingly standing in the way, which were of course, Stu, Ambi, and Lucas.
What was it? Oh shit, I didn't even notice that.
Yeah.
I did see that Ambrose was on the left side, but so that makes sense. Oh, that's adorable. Yeah, the whole band was there watching. Really good stuff. This was in Melbourne, by the way, the last two nights. But now let's go back in time to 2023 Switzerland.
Dizzying. Speaking of attire,
yes, let's talk about the drip of the day, or who had the fit. Now, initially, when the show started, I was like, well, look at Cookie. He's got shorts and like a Tommy Bahama shirt on. He looks like he just got out of a swimming pool and is walking to the poolside bar to get like a quesadilla and get through another chapter of his John Grisham paperback. But then something happened at the beginning of the river, and something else happened during Gaia.
The gentlemen, Stu and Joey, removed their shirts to go to wear only shorts and guitar straps, shorts and guitars, looking like barbarian soldiers.
Yeah, short shorts. I think these are 5-inch shorts.
Could be 5-inch. Yeah, I've moved to 7. It seems like the world wants men to wear 9, but it's too much for a greenhouse.
It's way too much for a Swiss greenhouse. So are we saying that there's a tie? What are we saying about the drip of the day?
Yeah, I think that the drip can involve a multi-person ensemble. I don't see why it shouldn't. I like a lot of other notes here. Joey's amber-lensed sunglasses go well with the ensemble, I thought. Stu is, of course, barefoot. I want to point out some things about Lucas, who is sometimes barefoot and sometimes wearing some like cream-colored rubber slides. Mm-hmm. And what's that shirt he's wearing, Professor?
Lucas's shirt? I could not tell. Yes. It had 4 letters on it.
It's a Yola Tango shirt.
Oh.
He is, in fact, wearing another band's shirt, damn you.
How does Stu feel about that?
I don't know. I have to ask my son. He's also wearing a blue cap with a yellow logo that I tried, even on my projector screen, to blow up as large as I could and enhance and zoom and enhance, and I can't tell you what it was. And finally, we got this close shot of him right at the end when he had removed his sunglasses and put them on the cap in front of the logo. So I got nothing, and I know this is very disappointing for our fans who basically came here to find out what was his hat.
Yeah, our but fans, not theirs.
No. They couldn't care less.
King Gizzard fans would not listen to this.
Ambi looking good in navy Carhartt pants and a pretty ripped, tattered blue tank top.
And sweaty.
So sweaty.
Yeah. And you've already covered our segment of Stu's Feet Meat Beat for this episode, which is Stu barefoot the entire show from the beginning. The last time, I think maybe this was a 2023 thing because we covered Remlinger night one. He was barefoot in the electrical puddles.
Cavs Adidas soccer jersey, number 10, with his dark rectangular sunglasses. This shirt emblazoned with the initial CABJ for the Club Atletico Boca Juniors, an Argentine professional sports club based in La Boca, a neighborhood of Buenos Aires.
A professional sports club. No sport noted?
I'm going to assume foot soccer.
Foot soccer. Huge. It's huge there.
Argentine rules football, also called soccer.
They love it there. And
not
the show
in Argentina.
Opens with Float Along and
Float Along,
Fill Your Lungs. And something we noticed, I think at first at Field of Vision, was this maybe a tradition of how Float Along starts, because Joey points to Stu and Stu starts the intro. And we've seen that several times now.
Hey, yo, Joey. Let's do the shit.
Did. Now, they also managed to somehow fuck up the outro and laugh about it, which I found interesting because this is typically a finisher song. So I think if you start the show with Float Along, you have to fuck up the outro.
That makes sense.
But if you finish with Float Along, you have to fuck up the intro.
There's a symmetry to that, and I appreciate it.
Do you think that they, either one of them, can do the intro, and they just signal for who's going to take it this time?
I haven't seen Joey do it. Have you?
Would I know if I had?
I'm not telling you. I'm not going to tell you the answer to that. This was a...
Well, I saw you inside my greenhouse.
Uh-huh.
Then I felt you like a tiny mouse.
I felt you like a tiny mouse. I don't think people talk enough about the fact that Float Along lyrics change depending on the circumstances and venue, etc.
I thought during the Dragon Jam, if you will, the metal section of this song that is canonical. I was surprised at how immobile the crowd was still, that there wasn't much dancing yet. They will not be able to withstand to the end of this show.
Yes.
Immobility will no longer be an option.
It takes a while for substances to kick in, but it's true that the crowd seemed very tepid at first.
Yeah.
And then by the end of this, it was insane, which was great because this was, like we said, this was a full daylight show and you could see everything, and it people were going wild. There were some other lyrical changes, which I was trying to catch, that Stu said, when I grew my wings and I did something fly, and I did something fly. I don't know what that word was.
I got nothing. Just silly tidbits about the song. This was the first 5/4 time signature song, in case anyone doesn't know that, paired with the drop D tuning. And famously, if anyone doesn't know, Stu had written this song and then later realized you can watch a... There's an interview on Songwriters on Process. He realizes later that he had left his lights on in his old Ford and that it made this little alarm type sound that he later realized was the 5/4 sound, was the 5/4 alarm that he had written into this song. and so once again, thank you to American Ingenuity, which created the first 5/4, the first off-time signature song for King Gizzard and the Lizard Wizard.
I like 5/4. The Rivers in 5/4, Wawa, Plastic Boogie, Pink Floyd's Mother, and then the great Take 5 by the Dave Brubeck Quartet? Quintet?
Mother, do you think she'll float along?
5/4 is great. It kind of swings, but it's unusual. I really like 5/4 a lot. There was some great ambi Moog work throughout the show. If you're listening in headphones, the left channel throughout this, like, I've really come to appreciate that. His weird textures that he adds. Still not sure what Cookie's doing, but I know what Ambrose is doing on those keyboards, and it's Moog weirdness.
You can really see his fingers and usually hear him.
Float Along then went to Lonely Steel Sheet Flyer, which I think is a song that you and I have never talked about here, or anywhere.
No, Joey says we're going to keep it psych. It's listed in the set list that someone recovered as Lonely Stew.
We got to talk about the printed set list.
This is an earlier song, a quarter song.
And Stu says, clearly we have no idea what we're doing, but all the best things in life are like that, referring to this podcast, obviously.
Cavs opens with Rototoms, though I don't understand how he can play them without someone there to rotate them for him. Hasn't been played since, as far as I can tell.
It has not been played since. And I found myself kind of humming this song after I watched this show, and... But I find it a kind of an awkward song. I like parts of it. I like the verse, I guess it is. It reminds me of an early Jefferson Airplane song, like circa 1966, something Marty Balin might have sung. But there's just some transitions that I find kind of awkward in the song.
Joey on he's got this faded SG Gibson T that he plays that's got these cool little horns on it that he plays sometimes. I haven't seen for a while, right? And then Stu on the Samurai.
Yeah.
Nice Ice 5 jam.
Total Ice 5 jam. And before that, a little Joey solo. But yeah, this goes into an Ice 5 jam and then Ice 5 actual quotes. And I don't know how this stuff transits. I don't know how this happens on stage. If they just find themselves in this Ice 5 jam and just were like, well, let's add lyrics. Or someone actually calls out, let's do Ice 5. But it was great. And then it drops right into the river, or... more likely the Ripper, because this thing was biaga.
Mm-hmm. Listed on the set list as River Stew.
River Stew. Another 5/4 song.
20 minutes of River Stew. Oh, shots during the transition into the river. There are a lot of shots in this show. A lot of, I guess, tequila or some sort of clear Switzer liquor.
I think they travel with tequila. I think they have a tequila...
Tequilier.
A tequilier. Yeah, as they would say in Spanish. You know, I learned that this song... So quarters, every song is exactly the same time, right? It's 10-10 on quarters, including the river. And that Stu said in a 2015 Reddit AMA that they added... He added sections to this song to make sure it was at the right time.
Oh. Which interesting.
Yeah, which is probably another thing that Jello Biafra might be upset about.
Yeah. Right, yeah. Why is it here? What does it mean?
And I was looking at, so we've been talking about this video from, what is it, 2015, Bootleg Holiday from Hell. And there are some clips of the band in the studio recording the river. And
talking about them polar bears, Cookie?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, what's that sound? Did you hear that?
Oh, my God.
That means it's time for Cookie Watch. Cookie Watch, of course, is a registered trademark of Kraft Nabisco, a wholly owned subsidiary of Mondelez International, you know, the snacking powerhouse from Chicago. And in that Bootleg Holiday from Hell video, we see in the studio that Cookie is playing the river on the 12-string guitar. Did that make the final cut? I don't actually know, but that's interesting. Mm-hmm. That's the only time I've seen our boy Cookie on a 12-string.
Spoiler alert, I think we should investigate this further.
Bootleg Holiday from Hell? Yes, we should. It should be our next episode.
I'm just dumb enough to do it.
Yeah, cooked Craig.
The river is amazing. Stu knows it. I mean, he's got his tongue out. He's like peeking and slowly sliding his fingers up the neck of his guitar. it's great.
This is in the beginning of this is where Joey strips off the shirt, leaving Stu on lead for a bit. Joey says, "Fuck it, you know, everyone can take their top off and drink."
Aha. Uh-huh. Yes. Okay. I didn't catch that because I've been wondering if Joey was holding back on his bad word usage because of the children in the audience.
Or what? Maybe. Was there less?
There anyway, was definitely less. Yes.
That's interesting.
Yeah, because he even calls out that he could see certain children in the audience. So I wonder if he was holding back.
A little boy named Sammy, who drew them a nice picture at some point earlier.
Mm-hmm.
Ambi alternatively plays harp or holds it in his mouth while he plays keys. Or sings while playing the tambourine and shaker at the same time. Man, that guy fucking does a lot of things.
His harmonica, he was like summoning banshees with his harmonica. It was really wonderful. And then,
as you do in Switzerland.
Then they get into a 7/8 jam, which was really cool. It kind of reminded me of a real jam band, dare I say. It actually reminded me of Raw Feel quite a bit, which is in 7/8. There's a Raw Feel jam, but of course, this was a year before B741 came out.
Now the crowd finally breaks into something like a pit as the river metal kick drum jam reaches its peak.
Finally. It didn't take that long, I guess. Lonely Steel Sheet Flyer is not a real pit song.
Let's try.
Mm-hmm. Maybe they'll play it. I don't think so. And there was a fun kind of vocal wind down before going into the next song, which was cute.
Trapdoor Stew, it says in the set list.
Trapdoor. Hottest flute in the world, says Stu as he picks up the flute.
This is the hottest flute in the world. They're hottest.
That greenhouse effect is for real, you guys.
Mm-hmm. Feel how hot it is. Joey takes it, offers it to the crowd to feel. At least one person in the crowd gets to feel the hot flute.
And Stu starts on the wrong key, maybe because the flute is so hot.
As far as I can tell, he stays in the wrong key.
Thank you.
How do you play this thing again? Stu asks, and I don't know, it may be capoed wrong or something. He laughs knowing that it's wrong to begin with, and I don't feel that he ever really figures it out. So instead of playing the boop boop doop boop doop little trapdoor riff, he just plays like long single notes that are maybe more forgivable within the realm of a song.
Incredible. Yeah. Yeah, maybe heat does affect flutes in ways that I'm not familiar with. It likely does. Ambrose, more Moog work. And this trapdoor gets unusually metal, and it's really hard and fun.
Fast. Quick, though. A mere 4 minutes.
I'd like to see Trapdoor. I've never seen Trapdoor live, I don't think.
Oh,
this summer.
Could happen.
Very deal. Possible. The next song is Sleep Drifter. What is this on the set list?
Sleep Stew.
Is this the best Sleep Drifter ever?
It's really fucking good.
Yeah.
Stew on Banana. Joey picks up the dickhead, of course. Cookie on the Blue Boy. This is interesting to me, this weird blue pill that looks like a Mentos or something. I think made by Zach, is it Eccles, who made the banana? But that one, I'm confused by it, because there's one that the banana maker, Zach Eccles, talks about having made that appears to be traditionally fretted, whereas this is clearly a microtonal Blue Boy Mentos shaped guitar. Lucas is on his microtonal orange built by Sarek basses. Apparently there's a nice gear rundown video. And earlier, I guess Lucas had a bass sort of with stick on frets. And then this bass was made to play all their songs. And so there was really just mostly one scale used that he uses on pretty much all of Flying Microtonal Banana, and he could kind of get away with that. But this one is designed for the more expansive scales on KGLW. And where, by the way, the recordings themselves on KGLW are often just MIDI bass. But to be able to play it live, he needed a more robust instrument, and he's got two of these basses by Sarek that look pretty much the same, but one's microtonal and the other isn't. He's
Sorry,
switching back
wait,
and forth.
Wait, the bass lines on the albums are MIDI?
On KGNLW, yeah.
Done by keyboards or how?
You know, man.
All right, fine, whatever. Hey, listen. Hey, it's okay. This is the Sleep Drifter. It's the best Sleep Drifter I'm familiar with. It's got this opening jam. It starts with Rattlesnake and then Am I in Heaven?
Yes.
Teases before even going into the lyrics. No, I don't know. I just want to say that, like, this show took place about 2 hours away from where LSD was first synthesized in Switzerland. I don't know if it's related.
It's not far-fetched, man. there's some signs that suggest
Billabong quotes from Ambrose in the Sleep Drifter. It's so good.
There's a whole microtonal metal dragon jam.
Uh-huh. I'd say Sleep Drifter generally is like a high floor, low ceiling song. Like, it's always good, but it never really extends except here in this show.
Yeah, it's really, really good.
Which, and it leads into Honey, which is a perfect transition. More tequila.
Yeah, right. Joey says, they're trying to kill me. Ambi says something nondescript about getting pissed at altitude.
I have a hard time understanding Ambrose throughout this show.
Could for no telling why. Stu says, we're going to play for a long time. I won't be offended if anyone wants to leave. Joey says, I'll probably bail.
I think we're going to play for a very long time. Sorry.
If you get bored and you want to go home, it's fine. Just bail. But we're just going to play until they tell us to stop, probably. Is that cool? Yeah.
I got that Airbnb, though.
I won't be offended if anyone wants to leave.
I'll probably bail.
I'm gonna Airbnb. I'm gonna get to.
Oh yeah, where is it? Melbourne.
It's like up in that cave up there.
Oh yeah.
I really Stu, fuck. I put the capo in the wrong place. Being in a band is fun.
I tried to tell what Ambrose was saying. He said, thanks for letting us sniff your cheese. I like the way your cheese smells. It smells like some armpits.
That's pretty much what I've got. Thanks for all the stinky cheese. I like the way cheese smells. Smells like our armpits, to which Stu says, what do they smell like? that's what I got. Unclear to me.
Playing in a band is fun.
Honey keeps this molecular feel of Sleep Drift. It's kind of like a hard honey.
Hard honey. That's what they say.
Yeah. Yeah. Nice microtonal keyboard riffs from Dr. Ramby.
Tequila infused honey is what hard honey.
That's right. In this case,
they keep it microtonal with nuclear fusion. The nuclear fusion is done by an audience member named Lars, who the band is so excited to have someone with a first name of a Metallica band member name.
Yes, right. In fact, Cavs gives a few little Metallica-style double kick drums in celebration. Further calling into question your theory about cursing, Joey says, who wants to say the thing? This motherfucker here. You want to say that thing, bitch?
Is that what he said? Want to say the thing, bitch? Oh, jeez. Okay, maybe my whole theory was wrong. I didn't hear that. Oh, my God. I also noticed the Cavs took a big hit of something right before this, before nuclear fusion, and lets out a cloud of something.
Oh, I thought it was Joey's cloud.
No, Cavs, you can watch him exhale.
Oh, interesting.
It might have been tequila, but it was certainly vaporized.
Smoke-like thing, the vapular product in the air I did see.
No, it was our Cavs.
Lazarus does a fine job, by the way.
Yeah.
And then gets his hugs and high fives all around the band.
Nuclear fusion was followed by Straws in the Wind. This goes out to everyone under three.
Sorry, nuclear fusion listed in the set list as Nuclear Stusion, followed by Straws in the Penis.
Straws in the Penis. Oh, that's upsetting. Ah, God. Joey does say this goes out to everyone under 3 years old, and then was looking for the kid who drew them the thing, but found someone else to say, hey, what's your name?
Yeah.
This goes out to everyone under 3 years old. So,
song goes out to everyone in the crowd under three, like Ambi. Stu says that's Joey, him, and Ambi, to which Ambi says, I'm a grown man, goddammit.
Which is what you heard at the very beginning of this episode.
Yeah. Stu with some rotoing work.
I can actually hear it. I can hear the pitch changing on the roto toms. Can you hear it?
I still can't hear anything.
You didn't hear that.
I literally don't hear it.
Okay.
Rotoing for Cavs while Ambi gets his shit together. Ambi has about 700 feet of mic cable.
And?
Like great things are about to happen. he holds it, walks around holding a lot of Mike Cable, enough that it can't be good for his back. And then he disappears. Don't know where he's gone.
Craft services, but man.
He does return with a fruit plate.
And a bag of small marshmallows that he throws into the audience.
Maybe ice?
It could be ice. I hope it's ice. That's probably what people needed.
Stu demonstrating the prowess still present from his history as a doctor of footy science is taking bites of fruit and perfectly drop kicking them into the crowd with astonishing accuracy. Joey half peels and then tosses, I guess, an overripe banana into the crowd. I wouldn't prefer that.
Oh, God. This is...
Stu and Joey sit down and vamp while Ambi drunk rant sings.
Yeah, and I couldn't understand. I know he said prawns in the game again, but I couldn't understand quite everything. It's a great performance.
Yeah.
You can't hear some of the wonderful things that are happening now, unfortunately. So check the video.
You can hear Extinction lyrics. He starts singing Extinction.
You can hear it. I couldn't hear it. I didn't hear that.
No, decidedly. Yeah, right. He just starts singing Extinction. Andy, thank you very much.
Before the album came out.
Yeah, right. We are King Gizzard and the Lizard Wizard. Stu says, do you like it now? Ambi says, after 20 years, I like it now. Meaning...
10, I thought.
After 10 years, yes. After 10 years, finally he likes the name of the band.
Stu says, is that what he was talking about? How did you know that's what they were talking about? I thought he was referring to the song.
I think he's talking about the name. Thank you very much. We are King Gizzard and the Lizard Wizard. Do you like it now? After 10 years, I like it now.
Oh, that's
Stu
great.
Says, I like it now as well.
Oh.
Do you like it now?
I'm saying it now.
I like it now as well.
After 10 years or so,
it's... I hate it. Now I like it.
You know, I keep thinking back about our last episode where we went through the pre-Giz bands and the early Giz stuff, and I don't know how did they get to this place? Like, I can't understand how they became this band that did all the songs that we've already talked about in this show, plus what's coming, especially next. Like, it's an amazing...
In comments. Sorry. Yes. Before next.
Before next. It's just an amazing transition in a pretty short amount of time that this band was able to do microtonal stuff, The River, Float Along... From a punk surf rock band.
Yeah, but as we learned in the last episode, and you can go back and listen to that episode if you have literally nothing else in your life to do, which is unlikely, we can see that the band progressed into being a disorganized mess. What do they call that? Trans-rational. There's pre-rational, which is when you don't know how to play an instrument. And then there's rational, where you play an instrument, and then there's transrational, which is something like a story of comparing Picasso's artwork to Picasso's grandchildren's artwork or something.
This is not a Dunning-Kruger thing.
I mean, I actually know a great deal about this, having not looked into it at all.
Uh-huh. So this is confident incompetence. Is that what I'm hearing?
No, I think that's, there's like a state that they talk about when, you know, people are trying to move beyond all, you know, what conception into like freedom in their instrument or in their craft, where it seems like it extends beyond the bounds of clear form. But that's not the same as someone who just never learned form.
Mm-hmm. They had form.
They did know it. And in the early days of Giz, they're a mess with intention, with intentionality. They have the capacity not to be a mess. They are choosing mess.
Mm-hmm. I've seen Joey play a xylophone with a large cable knit sweater. That man, he knows what he's doing.
He does. My son has the same xylophone and he doesn't know how to play it.
Exactly. Perfect AB. The next song, Crumbling Castle. What's this on the printed set list?
Thanks for asking. Crumbling Chole.
Chole. Yeah, Chole? I don't know. C-H-O-L-E on the set list.
Maybe Chole. Mm. Yeah, I don't think Australians don't typically pronounce a final accented E.
Joey gives a fair warning. We're probably going to fuck this next song. And so they do a bit.
And now they are pounding water.
Take a drink.
Probably in response to all of the tequila they have been drinking along with many a beer.
They say if you're in a greenhouse, drink tequila. Yeah, beer too. Audience is clapping rhythmically. They're really into this.
Yeah. Stu on the Holy Explorer.
Spitting water onto the crowd from his mouth hole.
I don't prefer that.
You know, I haven't studied Swiss law in a long time, but I'm going to allow it.
Joey on the Flying V. Stu plays a lot of the melody on this song.
Mm-hmm.
This is where Stu yells through the holes of the Holy Explorer into the mic.
Yeah, there's a bit. You got the microphone, then the guitar hole, and then Stu's mouth on the other side of the guitar hole. It's really delightful. And you can hear, like, the sound. The way it reverberates through the hole really makes a big difference.
Yeah, I thought so, too. I'm surprised he doesn't do this anymore.
Mm-hmm.
maybe he comes in early at one point in the lyrics, yeah, and then has to wait a minute, then utterly loses track of the lyrics.
Just mumbling.
Singing dum dum da da dum dum da da. Let's go now.
Let's go now. Ambrose and Joey are just delighted by Stu's forgetfulness. Ambrose is like bent over the rail behind his keyboards, just can't stop laughing. It's great.
And I just always love the final jam mess of Kremlin Castle, which is, I think, right, an in album tease callback to Nonagon. And at this point, Stu goes full Stu, tongue out, sideways, body bending to either direction, standing and playing guitar upside down somehow at the same time.
He's
upside down, not the guitar.
Is there
maybe both?
What asana is that? Forward fold, mm-hmm, while standing?
Asana, upside, parsh, patapatasana.
Oh, that's the one. Padasana. Into the fourth color. What's this on the set list?
Thanks for asking. This is called Fourth Kula.
What's that?
C-U-L-A. Fourth Kula.
Maybe Fourth Kula, you think?
Makes more sense. That sounds so Australian when you say it. It's like Scottish people Twitter.
Fourth Kula.
For Bogans. Fourth Kula.
I still have a hard time pronouncing the way Stu says hyperbole. That's not how I say hyperbole. How does he say it?
I say hyperbole.
I believe hyperbole. I can't do that.
Hyperbole.
It's really hard to do for me.
Yeah. I think until I heard it said out loud, I thought it was hyperbole. But hyperbole.
Yeah.
Yeah, I've never said that out loud. I'd like to see that in a Bogan People Twitter phonetic. I don't know, man. I love this song. I don't have any other exhaustive notes about it. It kind of goes by fast. But I love this pairing.
Great
always.
Pairing to take the first and last song like this. Squish 'em. Next,
squish 'em.
Now the metal section. Perihelion. I saw a great post on the internet. Where was it? Where someone was asking, like, do you ever change King Gizzard lyrics? And someone says, I assume a woman said, I just sing now perimenopause instead of perihelion. Anytime I get a hot flash.
Perimenopause.
Perimenopause. Anytime I get a hot flash. And now I'm going to do that every time.
Cookie switches to the flying A. Cookie likes some funny looking guitars.
He does, doesn't he? Yeah. They go well with his Tommy Bahama shirt.
With his whole cowboy thing.
Yeah, man.
Song starts and this crowd was waiting for metal.
Mm-hmm.
And starts to get pretty nutser.
I like that King Gizzard songs and their lyrics have inspired me to like do research about space and science. I didn't know what a perihelion was before, and I still don't, but I did research it.
You still don't?
Well, I know it. It's like the point... it's like a... Nope, go ahead.
Well, I guess the point is that they are using the sun's gravity. What do you see this in
Slingshot.
2010 A Space Odyssey Part 2? Where they like use the gravity of the sun to slingshot themselves around because that's the best way to get to Venus, unfortunately.
Mm.
And on the perihelion, which I guess is the farthest most point of the closest they're going to be to the sun,
mm-hmm.
Elliptic hop.
Yeah. Giver of speed.
Yes, it gives speed, and that's right when they're closest to the sun that I guess Venusian 1 blows up.
Mm. I assume the Earth has a perihelion too annually. No?
Oh, I would think that the Earth's orbit does. I guess a perihelion is a feature of an elliptical movement.
Yeah. Good talk. That goes in the Gila monster. Joey, you're just telling the crowd, Gila Monster!
Because it's true.
It's true. The man's not lying.
Nope. Gila Monsters in the set list, just pluralized.
Gila Monsters, okay. And we already talked about Boots Void and the Hadal Zone, etc.
Crowd is more unhinged and chanting, I don't know what. It's not clear to me that they're chanting Gila, 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 but they're repeating something over and over again and is going fucking crazy.
Do you think in any of the cantons of Switzerland they know what a Gila monster is?
What's a canton?
A canton is a linguistic region. They have the French, German and Italian cantons.
Oh, yeah. Like Cantonese.
Exactly. And there's the Cantonese.
That's why they don't speak Mandarin there.
There's a Cantonese canton of Switzerland, obviously. It's the lowlands.
That's right.
That's where the spicy Swiss food comes from.
Yeah, right. General So's. Noodle? No. What do they eat in
Schnitzel.
Switzerland? General So's schnitzel? That sounds okay to me. I can make that work.
I'm in.
fuck yes. If the band were the kind of band that always had to play their hits every show, they would play this song every show. And if I were not the kind of a Giz fan that I think a Giz fan tends to be, then I would be even more excited when they play this song. And I like this song. It's a good song, but I've just heard this song so many times. I love the video so much, and I think that I may have played this song more times than is reasonable to anyone who's not me, because I love watching this video.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't need them to play me the hits. And so I'm like, okay, fine, that's fine. And the crowd's excited because they're playing Gila Monster, and I'm fine. I enjoy myself. But for the love of fucking God, would someone please turn up Ambi's goddamned microphone?
Oh, man, yeah. It might be him. He might be responsible.
Well, and by the way, would someone fucking turn up Joey's microphone?
Hmm.
in his final annihilation of planet Earth and the beginning of merciless damnation.
That is a tough thing to his cadence is really hard to replicate for me. I can't do that one. I can't do that or hyperbole.
All right. Hyperbolition of the mutton. Yeah.
And I know you can't do all is known. So we all have.
All is known. All is known.
Our Achilles songs.
Fuck. Our Achilles known.
After Gila Monster is Gaia, which is listed as.
Gaia Santa.
Gaia Santa. Why?
I'm so glad you asked. I don't know.
This is great. This is there's a cav solo. This is where the band leaves briefly and Stu returns sans shirt. Wonderful.
Yes. Late show metal hits hard. Mm-hmm. It just seems like an improbable amount of energy for the band to still have. It's one thing to start metal, but my God, there's a lot of fucking amps of this band this late.
Not just the band, but the crowd. I assume they're hot by now. They're really into it. They get down on the ground and then get back up into a frenzy.
Yeah, now, where was Ambi during that moment? Because he sort of disappears off stage for a moment, and I wondered if Ambi had made them do that, because it felt like a very Ambi-forced squat jump.
Yeah.
He wasn't there for a moment. Mm-hmm. While Stu and Joe are kind of call response chugga chugging, and they spontaneously sit down, and then Ambi appears from off stage, from somewhere, with a baguette, I think, in hand. So you do the math.
You do the math. It was unclear to me who encouraged the audience to get down on the ground. Certainly, we know. That's Ambi's forte, but maybe it was someone else.
During the drum solo, Stu finally sheds his shirt as well. Mm-hmm. I finally deciphered, I think, what Stu is singing.
He's singing when? What? Just
Every time he's throat singing.
Oh, sure, yeah.
Mm-hmm. So
he does a lot of throat singing in this show.
Yeah, that sent me into a lot of further research into the science of where that region of space is located. Turns out Stu is Gaia.
Stu is Gaia.
I don't know if you knew that. He says so.
Oh, when he says I am Gaia, you think he's referring to himself.
I mean, I don't know how to make it any clearer.
I think you're right.
Cav's solo drums out of the song.
Gets a beer. Gets a big old beer.
Yeah, Joey says everyone give it up for Michael Kavanaugh, and then he calls him something that I can't make out, like waffle. says I think he deserves a solid beer, doesn't he? Lucas has already started the bass thumping beginning of the next song, Megama, in the set list, and then Cavs is desperately sipping his fresh beer. Ambi says he's a hunter, he's an absolute hunter. Stu says he's a hunter who becomes prey. I don't know what the fuck they're talking
about.
What
is happening?
I got nothing.
He's a hunter. He's an absolute hunter.
He's a hunter who becomes prey.
This is our last song. Thank you so much for coming to watch us play.
Good to be back. Oh, shit.
I think there's just so many inside jokes. When you're on the road with a group of people, you make inside jokes. You see signs at a restaurant. You watch a movie on TV, and I think it's wonderful, and we all celebrate it. I like inside jokes. I hope to be part of one day.
Oh, my God. Are you going to explain that to people, or just leave that between us?
That's just between us and anyone who's seen The Office. Megama. the magma.
My God.
Whoa.
What the fucking fuck, whoa, dude? Oh my fucking God. Dude, yeah. Holy fuck. Yeah. There are some great magmas out there that are worth debating as the best magmas ever.
Yeah.
I actually am. I got.
Yeah.
Jesus.
What man, are we going to do?
I'm like upset right now talking about this one.
Oh. I'll tell you. So there was a discussion online, or you know what? It might have been in the comments of this YouTube video that someone was suggesting this was the first jammed out magma ever. And we talked about Red Rocks 22, and they kind of jammed, but this is another level. I have listened to this several times, and I have found myself involuntarily making noises like, whoa,
Yeah, I got like lots of rounds of goosebumps.
Yeah.
You know, the KEXP magma is obviously a canonically important magma, but it's just fucking insane. Stu's going through some stuff here. He's got this serious face for parts of it where he looks like he could be played by a young Woody Harrelson. Fucking raging in sync with ambi keyboards, dropping down to a rumble part. Joey dutifully moves his pick to his mouth to arpeggiate. Stu retuning as he sings. Calves working so fucking hard.
I do think that this jam and the crescendos were led by calves here.
Yeah, just somehow up another notch. And then fucking notch again up into metal speeds. Yeah. Joey, again, shirtless with their cross belt barbarian straps, holding their guitars on, facing calves side by side like his slave boys jamming, headbanging. The fuck is happening? Stu licking the body of the samurai slowly, yes, as he rages into the finish.
Raises the samurai to under his chin. Licking it while facing the audience.
He's not playing slowly. He's just licking slowly.
Yeah, that's not easy to do. I can't even chew gum and talk on a podcast.
Please, did you bring enough for everybody?
No, I'm sorry. It's phenomenal. I've been thinking, like, should I just put in the entire magma in this episode of the podcast? Is that terrible? I don't think I'm going to do that. But you'll know right now.
know whether or not he has done so or has now had done.
But if you haven't heard it, you need to hear it again. And if you have heard it, you need to hear it for the first time.
People, at least, you know, if you're not going to watch the whole thing, I don't know, at least maybe a show link to that one particular 4K, which are thanks to, who is it? Someone who posted, is the YouTube user just named Gila?
I thought it was Gizzy.
Oh, Gizzy, you're right. Who has posted both the 4K as a single contiguous file and which is chapter marked. I salute you, sir.
Yes.
Or madam. And or madam. And or neither. And has also provided the tracks separately.
I believe Gizzy is somehow affiliated with KGLW.net.
Awesome.
Yeah, what a way to close the show. I was thinking, like, you know, the river is also a highlight of the show, and I feel guilty in a way that I just like Magma in general more than the river, and I feel weird about it because Magma musically is super simple, especially compared to the river. It's, what is it, A minor? It's one chord? The whole song? 4-4? There's none of that crazy time signature changes. There's no chord changes even, maybe. But I love Magma.
What is that jam? What is the mode? It's a mode, right?
It is, yes. We've talked about it. Yeah, it's in Phrygian, which they love, you know.
No, shouldn't be Phrygian. I thought each of the songs on the album start with the letter?
No, they're just in that order in the album.
Okay. Ice, death, planets, lungs, magma, and lava.
Yeah, magma's Phrygian.
I guess I never really did the math on that, and somehow in the back of my head had thought of them as going in order, but they definitely don't go in order. And
this, they do.
They do.
Mycelium's right, Ionian. Ice 5 is Dorian. In the order of the album, right?
Right, yes. But magma in the name of the album would stand where Mixolydian is. So ice, death, planets, lungs, mushrooms,
and I see what you mean.
Lava would be Ionian, Dorian, Phrygian, Lydian, Mixolydian, Aeoli.
Aeoli. But Magma's the third. It is the third song in the album.
And so Magma is the third song in the album.
Yeah.
Right.
So it's a third mode, which is
right.
Phrygian.
Right. But in the name of the album, that's not where Magma falls.
I wonder why they did that. Maybe they didn't think about it. Well, you know, Magma and Lava are not the same thing, as my 9-year-old likes to tell me.
No, one is Locrian.
Mm-hmm.
Although, it's Lava is Lydian?
Lava's Lydian.
Right. Lungs? The song Lungs, I believe, is in Locrian.
We love that. Yeah, Iron Lung is in Locrian, for sure. Mm. And that's Palpfest 2023. What a show. What a fun 2 hours.
Fuck, it's so good. Do yourselves a solid and go listen to that instead of listening to us.
God. Big mistake. Huge.
Yeah, you've really wasted your time.
You really fucked up here.
I cannot stress enough how poorly you've allocated your time.
Now we tell you. Just we wait until you get to the end of this episode to tell you how badly you fucked up. Good stuff. Any Omnium Gatherum from you?
I did see Unknown Mortal Orchestra, as I promised to, at the end of the last show, and it was just
my boys.
So fucking wonderful. My God.
Wonderful.
Yeah, they're not that weird. I mean, they are weird.
No, they're not King Gizzard weird, but they are unusual musically.
Yeah, they just cover an incredible amount of ground musically and vocally. I mean, vocality is a kind of a musical thing, but it's just amazing what they go through. The venue that I was at, I wasn't impressed with the sound quality at first, but it seemed like they got it dialed in over time, and it must be hard. Like, I just couldn't hear Ruben Nielsen's singing at first, but they sort of dialed him in over time, and he just does so many things vocally over the course of the show. And the guitar also, he makes so many different sounds. It's incredible how much ground they cover without being weird to the point of, like, unreasonable to put these things together. It's just, like, an amazing sonic journey. And This is a band who does still seem to be forced at gunpoint by the crowd to play their hits.
Yes, they do,
but I would love for them to not have to.
I know. It's a different audience, and I think they are trying to get away from that play the hits expectation by kind of stretching out and playing new songs, but they still have that for sure, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, even to the point of, you know, doing That Life as an encore.
Did an encore?
Yeah. Yeah. Does that not always happen?
No, not. I mean, we were cheering, but when I saw them recently, they did not do an encore.
We cheered hard. This smallish town that I'm in worked hard to get them back, and it was a relatively small venue. And just what an absolute delight. I just loved it.
Unknown Mortal Orchestra, great. Ruben, the guitarist and lead singer, I think he's rightfully proud of the textures he creates vocally and on his guitar. He's a pedal fella. He's an amp fella. I have one of his pedals on my desk.
Aha!
I love it. I cherish that I have that. Anyway, I have something, a music-related omnium, which is maybe we've talked about the podcast Strong Songs, hosted by Kirk Hamilton. It is a great podcast where this musician breaks down songs in a often nerdy music theory way, which I really appreciate. I learn a lot from him. Like the most recent episode, he talks about the album Kind of Blue again, but he goes down through he talks about modes that we were just talking about and confused about. He talks about modes a lot, and it's wonderful.
So just four bars on Ionian for Train, though Paul Chambers misses the transition and plays another C, even though Evans and Train have moved on to the second mode, A-flat Mixolydian. Train really just explores a single idea in those four bars. He runs up the C major scale to a major seventh, a B, though that transposes to a high C sharp on the tenor sax. It's a run that feels perfectly natural on that instrument.
And he'll do, something like Kind of Blue, and he'll do something like from the band Heart, or, you know, something from Radiohead. Just great. So if you're into music and music theory, the podcast
Beyonce,
maybe. I don't remember that episode.
I'm pretty sure he covers all the Single Ladies.
Single Ladies, you're right. He did. That was cool.
Yeah.
Strong Songs is the podcast. I highly recommend it.
Me too. Yeah, it's a delight. I haven't listened to a while. I need to circle back. I went through a thing where I had a hard time listening to Strong Songs because I often listened to podcasts with one earbud in, and I felt like I was really missing something because he talked about expressions that often moved between sides of the recording.
Mm-hmm.
And I've been using two earbuds to listen lately.
Mm.
And so maybe, yeah, I'm ready to circle back. I really got a lot out of that show.
Yeah, it's really good.
It is.
In our next episode, we are going to cover Bootleg Holiday from Hell, which is a video created by, it's like a two-hour video documentary put together by Jason Galea from the band's 2014 and 2015 tours. It's almost like Chunky Shrapnel, but wilder and less organized, if you can believe that.
Decidedly less. Chunky Shrapnel is, I think, very organized. And so, but this is not just a little bit less organized.
It's crazy. There's studio stuff, there's behind the scenes stuff, and there's plenty of concert footage from the early days.
I'm looking forward to this.
I'm looking forward to it too. It's going to be wild. Yeah, I don't know how we're going to cover it, but it's going to be fun. So there's a link. There's a link to Bootleg Holiday from Hell in the show notes here. So do your homework. I'm going to try to.
We can do it. I can do it. I'm excited. I can't wait. I'm going to love the prep for this one. And, you'll love or not love the show, or just go watch it. You could just go watch it. You don't need me.
No,
you don't need us.
You don't need us at all. Mm-mm. Okay, with that, we'll see you later. Love you.
Hasta pronto. Love you. And you, Professor, and everybody.
Thank you very much for your cooperation.
That was fucking sick.